I am Plant on the Line. This is the commentary.ca. David Berner is the community liaison at Langara College. The former broadcaster's column appears weekly in the province. DavidBerner.com is his website, and therein you'll find a regularly updated blog that's often funny. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, David Berner. Good morning, Mr. Berner.
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Pretty good yourself.
Great.
How was your summer?
My summer was lovely, of course, although we had lousy weather here in town, and we're just sort of getting a bit of a late summer. But as always, you know, I rode my bike, and I did some swimming, and played some tennis, and ate some good food, and tried to stay sane and healthy.
You went away, did you?
Oh, yeah. Yes, I went to the United Kingdom. I had never seen either Edinburgh or Dublin, and I've now spent a week in each. I rented a flat in each of those great cities, and I had the exact opposite reaction to what I expected. I expected that I would fall in love with Dublin, because I've been a fan of Irish writers my whole life, and of the Irish in general, and that I sort of expected that Edinburgh might be a little stodgy and dull. Not at all. I fell in love with Edinburgh. I could easily move there if there were some reason to do that, or if I had a gig that would pay the rent. I just enjoyed it immensely. Lovely people, great food, fabulous architecture, lots of art, a bus system that puts Vancouver Transit to shame. A bus system that you never wait longer than 2 minutes for a bus. The streets are clogged with buses. They keep moving. Easy to get around, cheap. So I loved it. And Dublin, of course, was in fact enchanting and fun and wonderful, but I truly loved Edinburgh.
And you wrote about this too, did you not?
Yeah, I had a blog. What was my blog called? Oh, yeah, Laughing in the Isles.
Right.
Spelled I-S-L-E-S.
What's it like? I mean, you used to do little travelogues, I guess, on your old radio program. But I'm curious. I mean, what's it like to travel with David Berner? Do you bring a lot? Do you bring people with you? Or
no, not at all. Almost invariably, I travel alone. I'm somewhat sorry to say, because I'm at a point in my life where, you know, look, there are certain advantages to traveling alone, but there are a couple of distinct disadvantages. The true advantages of traveling alone are you never have to negotiate anything with anybody. You don't have to say, should we stop and look in this window at this jewelry or shoes or let's choose this restaurant, sweetheart, rather than that restaurant. You just do whatever the heck you want. You know, you act on your own impulse. So that's an advantage. And the other great advantage is being alone. You tend to meet people. And I've met the most wonderful people in my travels and made lifelong friends and so on. The disadvantage is that, you know, breakfast you can have by yourself, lunch you can have by yourself because you can always read a book. But in the evening, everybody's coupled up and the restaurants are dark and it's hard to read. And you really want some company. And you also want that wonderful experience of the look at this baby moment. You know, you want to turn to somebody and say, hey, look at this, as
right.
if you don't both see the same thing, right?
Yeah.
But just that sharing of the experience is so wonderful, and especially when you're going to romantic places like these great cities, because they are romantic, you know?
Yeah. We're in the midst of three major election campaigns in the United States, nationally, in this country, and municipally. Is there one that you're focusing on right now?
Well, I'm focusing on the municipal election because of my work, but not only because of my work, but I'll speak to that first. You know, I work for Langara College, and we have created two mayoral debates, October 1st and October 29th, at the downtown library at 7:30. So we've got debates between Ladner and Robertson, and these will be televised and put on Shaw cable channel 4. And I'm the moderator. We've got three terrific journalists, Stephen Quinn from CBC Radio 1, Alex Tsakoumas from 24 Hours and CTV BC, and Francis Beulah, formerly the Sun City Hall reporter, but now the City Hall reporter for Vancouver Magazine, and she also teaches here at Langara. So I'm very involved with that, and also I was asked to run by both parties, by both Vision and NPA, and I gave it serious consideration and also mocking consideration, because this is my style. And I decided pretty firmly that it wasn't for me. I'm 65, and I don't have the energy I used to have, and I don't, and also I'm just a different kind of person. I don't think I could sit through council meetings without either dozing off or screaming. I'd probably run out and set my hair on fire. And quite frankly, most of the politicians that I know are excruciatingly dull people. They're just boring people. They're sort of bland, you know, and I don't want to keep their company. You know, they're nice people, I guess, sort of. Anyway, so yeah. I am focusing on that, you know, out of interest, but also out of work. I'm focusing on the American election because, like so many Canadians, I'm somewhat obsessed with America. You know, I have the great love-hate relationship that we all have. I admire America in so many ways. I love visiting America often. I love the energy. I love the friendliness, the openness, and so on. And I'm also horrified by America, by foreign policy, by racism that's embedded in the culture, by a gun culture that horrifies me. So like any good Canadian, I have mixed feelings. Also, of course, their politics are grander. Their politics are much more, they're played on a bigger stage, and they're much more dramatic, and they've got every sports star and every musical star and every movie star involved, and so they're much more colorful and interesting. And of course, you can't help but be interested in what seems to many people an extraordinary election. We had the strange and amazing possibility of having the first woman president, and or the first Black American president. And now that Mrs. Clinton is out of the race for the moment, we still have the possibility of the first Black American president. And while I don't particularly endorse affirmative action, and I don't endorse the idea that a man should be president just because he's Black, it would be a great step forward in the world for America to be able to say, after all this time, we actually have a Black American president. I happen to find Obama fascinating and admirable. A lot of people don't. A lot of people think he's a sham. They think he's only a great speaker. Everybody agrees he's one of the great orators that any of us have ever seen. He's right up there with Bill Clinton and Martin Luther King. He's a fabulous speaker. But I think there's more to the man. I think he can... I think he can deliver. I think one of the things we have to remember, Joe, is that nobody is ready to be president. And presidents will tell you this. People who have been president will assure you that no human being is prepared for that office. You have to grow into it, and you have to grow into it quickly. The moment you step into that office, you've got to start becoming presidential, whatever that means. And I think Obama's got the stuff. Does he have the world's greatest record as a senator or a voter? Not necessarily. But McCain, to me, for all that he's an interesting war hero, is dull, same old Bush, Republican, boring, boring, boring. And the governor from Alaska, to me, is just a diversion. I mean, she's just... I don't even want to waste time on her. I think the issues have become clear in the last 48 hours. Lehman Brothers have gone bankrupt. Merrill Lynch has been sold to what is it, Bank of America or somebody? Right. The Dow crashed. How many points? 500 points. The issue is economy, economy, economy. And these two guys better get on top of it real fast and have something salutary or encouraging to say to the American public. Because it's just about the worst fall in the markets since 29.
In listening to you, just last few minutes, it seems to me the candidates that you seem to like are ones that aren't dull or boring.
That's true. I like to see people with some verve, with some energy.
And that's what you look for as a voter?
No, not entirely, but that certainly helps. I mean, look, Ronald Reagan had verve and energy, and he has been called a great communicator and so on. I didn't buy the Reagan story. I never thought he was a great president, and I didn't greatly admire him. I just thought he was a colorful, interesting character, and I don't even remember who he ran against now, but certainly I would not have voted for him. So I'm not telling you that I vote for people because they're colorful, but they're certainly more interesting to watch. Look, here in Canada, I find Stephen Harper almost excruciatingly dull. But in this instance, I think that's a good thing. For me, I really don't like the demonizing that people of other parties are doing about Stephen Harper. I don't see him as the devil incarnate. Far from it. So far, his record to me looks like he's quietly been managing the affairs of state and doing a reasonably good job. Now, do I want to have coffee with him? Not particularly. I think he's probably dull as dishwater and not my style, but so what? I got so tired of Chrétien and Martin, particularly Chrétien, and before him Ryan Baloney, and before him Trudeau, in my face every morning. I mean, with every box of bran flakes, there they were saying something. One of the nice things about Harper's short reign so far is that I don't have to look at him every morning. There's other things in the news. So in this case, dull is not a bad thing.
You mentioned Frances Bueller will be participating in that forum on the 1st and the 29th downtown. Her piece in Vancouver on Robertson and Ladner.
I thought that was excellent.
Wasn't it?
She, you know, I must tell you, I phoned her and congratulated her, and she, you know, she's kind of self-effacing, a modest person, and she wasn't happy. She thought, you know, that it should have been a bit longer and more and richer. But I think that's just about one of the best political pieces I've ever read in local media. I thought she really gave us a sense of who these two guys are, certainly how close they are in nature. They're almost like twins, you know. It's hard to vote in this instance because they're so similar. Yeah, I thought she really got it. She gave us their background. I thought it was, as always, well written, but very rich. I thought it was an excellent piece. You know, sometimes, especially in a magazine like Vancouver Magazine, any of the glossies, we get articles about people that seem to tell us who they really are, and I don't want to name any names because it'll be too embarrassing, but lately there have been a couple pieces about some people, and the writer has completely missed it. Completely missed who these people are, and just written about the obvious gloss of the person's presentation, and not really gotten the soul of what this character is about. But in this case, I thought Frances got it. I thought she nailed it.
But for people that haven't read the piece,
yes,
do you think they, I mean, do they know Robertson? Do they know Ladner? Do they have a sense of who they are or who they're voting for in November?
Well, I think that's an excellent question, Joe, because unfortunately so many people don't really know a damn thing and often don't know who they're voting for and just vote on some whim at the last moment or, you know, the name pleases them or there's brand familiarity or something. But I think many, many people in Vancouver are pretty well informed and have a sense of who Peter Ladner is and Gregor Robertson is. I would encourage anybody who happens to hear this piece, if you haven't read Frances's piece, it's real simple. You just Google Vancouver Magazine, go for what was it, the September issue, whatever
right.
This issue was, and search Frances Bueller or Ladner or Robertson, and you'll get the piece, and you can read it online, and you'll judge for yourself. But I think she really gives us a look. They're both guys who grew up with pretty comfortable situations, you know, from upper middle class to seriously rich. They're both guys who, you know, have been sort of, I don't know, what should we say, sort of mild echo warriors, guys who've taken ordinary paths, but some slightly flaky paths, and done some oddball things. They're both bicycle enthusiasts. They both have families that are relatively young. They're both reasonably bright. Ladner's had a lot of years on council, or several years on council, and you have to ask yourself what his real contribution has been so far. Robertson has not been there. I don't know. I mean, for me, it's a very big toss-up between these two guys. They're very similar, The interesting thing will be more, not so much which of these two leaders wins, but which of the two parties holds sway.
As an analyst, as an observer, do you have any predictions as to what will happen municipally in November?
I think Robertson's going to win, to tell you the truth. You never know. You know, you never know. Radner may have a surge, or, you know, at the right moment. But I think, look, the one thing you can say about Gregor is that he's got the royal jelly. And that means that there are some people who might make a good prime minister or president or something, but they're just not touched by whatever magic it is that gets you into office. You know, look at Robert Stanfield, look at Joe Clark. Joe Clark was he prime minister for 11 minutes or something?
Yeah.
Gregor Robertson is a terribly handsome, photogenic guy, you know, and so he just looks great. And I think people are just going to, you know, a lot of voting, unfortunately or otherwise, the reality is a lot of voting works on the same instinct of which movie stars and which singers you like. I know Robert De Niro is a great actor, but he's never done much for me. I'd rather watch Pacino any day, read a coffee cup, but De Niro just doesn't grab me. Spencer Tracy is considered one of the great actors of all time, and he never did anything for me. I don't dislike any of these people. I just don't have the chemistry with them. Some people, the chemistry is there, and I think Gregor Robertson has chemistry, and he looks presidential. He looks mayoral, you know. And so I think he's going to win. I don't know what that means for NPA. That's my guess. What that means for NPA, I'm not sure. I'm surprised that Susan Anton, Elizabeth Ball, and Kim Capri are running again. I think Susan Anton has done a pretty good job, and she's pretty bright, and she's pretty thorough. I think that Kim Capri is terribly lightweight and has contributed almost nothing. And Elizabeth, I've been friends with her for years, but quite frankly, I mean, I've known Elizabeth for 40 years in the theater world, but I don't know that she was even present. We've never heard a word out of her. I don't know what impact she's had on council whatsoever. So I don't know why she's running again. Michael Geller is running, and Michael Geller is, I think, a terrific candidate. He's an urban planner and an architect, and he's the guy who built Universe City and managed it up there at Simon Fraser. He's a world traveler. He's got a real sense of how the city can and should develop and what we need in terms of affordable housing. On the vision side, we've got a lot of the same people, you know, a lot of returnees. So I would guess that Raymond Louis' seat is safe. Tim Stevenson, probably safe. Heather Deal, you know. I don't think there's going to be a huge dramatic change.
And federally, what do you think will happen federally, in this city in particular, in Vancouver?
Well, in this city, I think Dion will have his ass kicked, which he deserves to. I think Dion I can't imagine why anyone would vote for him. I just don't get it at all. I don't see this guy as a leader in any way whatsoever. I don't know what he's doing at the head of the Liberal Party. I just don't buy Stephan Dion at all.
But you said that Stephan Dion and the Liberals will get their asses kicked in Vancouver. Who will do the kicking? Is that the NDP or the Conservatives?
I think the Conservatives are going to do well in Vancouver. Polls are showing that, and I don't vote according to polls. In fact, I don't like the tendency of media to lean on polling and so on. That doesn't tell us what the issues are. It just tells you what your neighbors are doing. Again, I rarely vote Conservative. I've voted NDP most of my life, but I'm prepared to vote Conservative this time. I may not. I will see. I'm just trying to think. Now, isn't this awful? I can see who the Green Party candidate is in my neighborhood, but who's the NDP candidate? You see, I don't even have... the name doesn't even register.
No.
I know that Joyce Murray won the by-election. She's a Liberal. And she won by about 100 votes over Deborah Meredith,
mm-hmm.
who's the Conservative. And I think Deborah Meredith may pull that away from her. I don't think Joyce Murray should have been elected. I don't, you know, to me she's an extreme lightweight. isn't this awful? I can't remember who the NDP candidate is in my neighborhood. And then Dan Grice, I think, is the Green Party
right.
Candidate in what's my neighborhood called? Quadra? Or
Quadra, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Harper will win at the very least another minority government, which will be fine with me as long as he can keep conducting business. If he wins a majority, that's fine with me too. Let's see what he'll do. Give the guy a shot. Has he destroyed the country in the short time he's held office? No. Has he done anything horrible? No. A lot of people are going to be upset about his stance on crime and on the dreaded safe injection site and harm seduction, all that BS. I support what he's doing in those directions. I support Tony Clement. Everybody thinks these people are evil. I don't think they're in the least bit evil. I think what we've been doing for the last 10 years is evil. And look at the results. The results are disastrous. And I don't think it's going backwards to say, let's provide treatment. So anyway, to answer your question, I think in this part of the woods, anyways, the liberals have a fight for their lives.
Well, we'll see what happens, and until then, we'll read the blog. It is a fascinating time, isn't it, David?
It is. I mean, we've got a lot of action going on, and right in the middle of all this, the NFL season started. Hockey's not far away. We had a great U.S. Open. We had a great Wimbledon, and the only sour note is the Tiger is out.
But life's good nonetheless, right, David?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us today, David, and we'll have you on again.
Thanks.
The website is davidburner.com. Do read the blog. I read it every day. There's just stuff in there that David manages to pick out from the internet that we overlook or that we ought to read but don't. Anyway, davidburner.com is the website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Lenna.